Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, millions of Americans have turned to Ozempic as an off-label weight loss drug, even though it's not FDA approved for that purpose. Is it the magic pill they think it is? We'll speak with the author of a new book which aims to answer that question. Also this morning, heading into the first weekend of summer, the travel trends experts at Google have the inside scoop on where people are going, what they'll be doing, and how they'll be getting there this vacation season. And we have a collection of tasty recipes for your Memorial Day weekend cookout or picnic from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, May 24th, 2024. Big weekend, first weekend of summer, and a lot of people are going to be celebrating, traveling. Not only that, but we're going to be shopping in the true spirit of America. We're going to be buying stuff. And this is a big weekend of sales on big ticket items. This I thought was kind of interesting. Things like furniture, household appliances, vacuums, steam cleaners, air fryers, washing machines, dishwashers, refrigerators, all of those things you'll find pretty good deals on this weekend. Also, deals on mattresses and bedding and gardening supplies. Those would be the biggest products with deals. Business analyst Carl Gould, who we've had on the program before, says different holidays present different opportunities to save. Retailers tend to use Memorial Day weekend to clear out last season's inventory and make room for next season's products, which means an opportunity to save. He says you can expect steeper discounts since retailers now need to focus on selling summer merchandise when it is in high demand. On the other hand, it is the worst time to buy summer apparel. Also, home goods for the outdoors, like patio furniture, grills, beach accessories. Not a good time to buy those things. You also might want to consider waiting to purchase technology and electronics products, because generally you will get better deals on things like laptops and tablets midsummer into the later summer months. We think about back to school. That's when they start to discount those things for the kids that need them for back to school. So some of the things you might want to shop for or not shop for this Memorial Day weekend, if you'll be doing that. 108th running of the Indianapolis 500 will be held on Sunday. So that's always a big event. Memorial Day weekend. Joseph Newgarden will look to repeat. He won the race last year. Four-time winner Elio Castroneves, once again hoping to become the very first five-time Indy 500 winner in the race's history. Scott McLaughlin? I'm not a big fan of IndyCar racing. I mean, I watch generally one race a year, and it's the Indy 500. Scott McLaughlin will be on the pole. He grabbed the pole position with the fastest qualifying speed in Indy history. And he will be alongside Joseph Newgarden and Will Power in row one on Sunday at Indianapolis. Does look like the weather is going to cooperate. Cedar Point is taking the opportunity this weekend to recognize U.S. military members and veterans. Through Monday, active and retired members of the military, along with reservists and members of the National Guard, will all be able to receive a free single-day pass. A valid military ID must be shown in order to take advantage of the offer. You can get more details at their website, cedarpoint.com. Is the top thrill back open? It is not back open yet. They're still working on it. The new coaster is still down. And from what I understand, Cedar Point's been struggling the early part of the season, not so much with issues of technology. I know Top Thrill was shut down, but they're shorthanded, I guess. A friend of mine said he was up there couple of weeks ago, and a lot of managers and even executives were like operating rides because they just don't have enough people. That may change now that kids are out of school, but yeah, a little short staff. But free admission for U.S. military members and veterans through Monday. Elsewhere, among the first things you need to know this morning, if you are headed to Ohio's capital city, be aware that there will be lots and lots of people. In Columbus and central Ohio, the State Highway Patrol is urging motorists to be prepared for heavier traffic each day through Monday. Look at all of this that's going on this weekend in Columbus. The USA Men's and Women's Adult Volleyball Championships will be at the Columbus Convention Center this weekend. The Savannah Bananas are playing at Huntington Park. If you've never seen the Savannah Bananas, they're awesome. And I actually thought about getting tickets to see the Savannah Bananas, but it's sold out, and tickets on the secondary market are insanely expensive. But there will be a lot of people heading to Huntington Park to see that. The National Veterans Memorial and Museum is opening a new exhibit, I believe today, on Allied artists who ran deception campaigns during World War II, which is kind of cool. The museum also hosting ceremonies for Gold Star families and fallen service members on Sunday and Monday. So a lot of things going on in Columbus if you are thinking of heading to central Ohio at some point this weekend. And how about this? I don't know. This was yesterday at the U.S. Capitol. Over 100 pizza makers from the New Haven, Connecticut area descended on the nation's capital to declare New Haven as the pizza capital of the U.S. The pizza makers from Pepe's Modern, Sally's, and many other area favorites chartered a flight to Washington, D.C. to make their case. They rallied on the steps of the Capitol and then listened as Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro, took to the House floor and claimed New Haven as the pizza capital of the U.S. Now, not everybody is behind this, particularly in New York, where they are very militant about their pizza, and other places as well, but particularly in New York. Objected to the idea of New Haven, Connecticut, of all places, being the pizza capital of the U.S. But other members of the state's congressional delegation participated in the event, as well as the mayor of New Haven, Justin Ellicker, also made the trip. So, I don't know. I'm thinking, how do we get that? Could we would we want to trade Flag City USA for the designation of Pizza City USA? Can we? I don't think we really want to do that, though, would we? But it's tempting. That's not really fair. I didn't know that would be up for grabs. Anyway, I don't think that it was a successful effort. I don't think that New Haven is going to be. But maybe it will. Who knows? I don't know what the likelihood is that New Haven will be Pizza City USA anytime soon. But they think they should be. Anyway, there you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started heading into the big Memorial Day weekend.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, mostly sunny today, a high in the low 80s, becoming cloudy tonight, a low in the mid 60s. There was a fatal crash involving a train and a car near the Hancock-Seneca County line. The crash happened at about 1:30 Thursday afternoon on US 224, just west of US 23. The Highway Patrol said a 72-year-old woman from Arlington was driving northeast on US 224 and went through a lowered railroad gate arm, and her vehicle was hit by a northbound train and pushed off the left side of the roadway before hitting a utility pole. The 72-year-old and a 75-year-old in the vehicle were killed. The Highway Patrol says the crash remains under investigation. Get more in this story on our website. A company will be closing its Findlay manufacturing facility. ZF Active Safety says it has informed employees of the planned closure of its Findlay facility located at 1750 Production Drive. The closure is anticipated to happen in the second quarter of 2025. Dan Schaefer is Executive Director of Findlay-Hancock County Economic Development.
ZF, along with the Economic Development Office, Raise the Bar, and other workforce partners, will support the affected employees in seeking new employment while the plant closes out its customer commitments.
The plant makes brake control units, and ZF said the reason for the closure is that the production contracts for the products have ended and have been sourced to another supplier. Get more in the story on our website. A new bill at the Ohio State House addresses the availability and affordability of child care in Ohio.
State Representative Mark Johnson from Chillicothe introduced the Child Care Credit Act. Now, this legislation would provide $10 million for families that qualify.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. Coy Ross in local schools is congratulating its 2024 Amazing Shake winner, Nikki McNeil. The school district says it received many compliments on their seventh graders' skills throughout the event. The Amazing Shake teaches students manners, discipline, respect, and how to conduct themselves in a professional environment. See some pictures from the competition and the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Now to our cover story this morning. According to Market Watch, the weight loss market in the United States reached a historic peak of $90 billion last year. $90 billion with a B, as in big bucks. Spending $90 billion in our ongoing battle of the bulge, even though it is not FDA approved for this purpose. The record amount of spending for weight management, was driven in large part by the off-label popularity of prescription drugs such as Ozempic. But is it the panacea that millions of Americans seem to think it is? Johan Hari is the author of a new book called Magic Pill, The Extraordinary Benefits and Disturbing Risks of the New Weight Loss Drugs. And Johan, I would think that the fact that these medications, Ozempic among them, the fact that they are not FDA approved for weight loss should be a big red flag right there, shouldn't it?
Oh, they are FDA approved for weight loss. So these are new drugs that work in a completely new way. They were designed for diabetes, but they've subsequently been approved by the FDA for obesity. And that's because the average person who uses these drugs loses between 15 and 24% of their body weight, depending on these drugs. And when I first learned about these drugs, I remember just thinking, feeling such a mixture of things, because I thought, well, I can obviously see the advantage of a drug that reduces or reverses obesity. I'm older now than my grandfather ever got to be, because he died of a heart attack when he was 44. Loads of the men in my family get heart disease. We know that obesity makes you more likely to get over 200 known diseases or complications.
Mm-hmm.
But I also thought, come on now, can it really be as good as it seems? Is there such a thing as a free lunch? So for a year, I went on a big journey all over the world. I interviewed the leading experts on these drugs, the biggest defenders, the biggest critics all over the world. I took the drugs. I lost 42 pounds myself. And I really dug deeply into the benefits and the risks here.
So we do know that it's not snake oil. It does work. And, you know, people are, finding success with this. But what are the myths? What are the things that people think they know but may not know the whole story? The truth with an asterisk, if you will.
I think you've got to weigh two sets of risks when you're thinking about these drugs. The myth is that it's simple, right? You've got to weigh two sets of risks. There's the risk of being obese. I was obese for most of my adult life. Obesity is a catastrophe for your health, sadly. It makes all the things we fear much more likely, from diabetes to dementia, stroke,
right,
you know, across the board. Terrible back pain, sleep apnea, just almost all medical conditions, you know, and that's slightly overstating it, but it has a disastrous effect on your health. You've got to compare those risks to the 12 significant risks associated with these drugs that I go through in my book, Magic Pill. And you've got to really, there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution here, right? You've got to really think carefully about which of these apply to me, which risks am I, do I want to take, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's important to also understand how these drugs work. So if you ate something now, doesn't matter what it is, your pancreas would produce a hormone called GLP-1. And GLP-1 is basically your body's natural system. It's the brakes going, hey, you've had enough, stop eating. But natural GLP-1 only stays around in your system for a few minutes and then it's washed away. So it's pretty easy to carry on eating. What these drugs do is they inject into you an artificial copy of GLP-1 that, instead of sticking around for a few minutes, stays in your system for a whole week. So it has this crazy effect. I'll never forget, the second morning I was taking it, I went to a diner up the street from where I live, and I ordered what I used to order every morning. It was a massive chicken sandwich with loads of mayo in it. I used to eat it every morning and still want some potato chips. I had like 3-4 mouthfuls and I was just full, right? So it makes you feel very full, very fast, which is why you lose a huge amount of weight.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the risks, some of which are well documented, and you also make the point that there are a number of risks that haven't been made as well known.
Yeah. Of the 12 risks, this isn't the biggest, but it's the one that played out most for me. It was kind of weird. The first 6 months I was taking the drugs, I was getting what I wanted. I lost a huge amount of weight. But weirdly, I actually didn't feel better in myself, in my mood. If anything, I felt a little bit worse.
Hmm.
There are some doctors who are warning these drugs seem to be causing depression. It wasn't that bad for me, but depression in some people. And there's a debate about why, but I think a key part of the reason I kind of realized one day, I'd had a bad day and I went to a branch of KFC in Vegas that I'd been to 1,000 times. And I did what I would have done before I was on Ozempic. I ordered a bucket of fried chicken to kind of, I don't know, numb myself, comfort myself. And I had the first chicken drumstick and I looked at the rest of the chicken and I suddenly thought, oh, I can't eat this. Like, you can't comfort eat when you're on these drugs. What they do is they really interrupt your eating patterns. Which is obviously a good thing, it makes you eat less, but and I remember thinking, oh, you're just going to have to feel bad, right? I think partly what happens with these drugs, you know, there are many reasons why we eat. I go through 5 reasons why people eat in my book, Magic Pill. Only one of them is to feed your body. The rest is for psychological reasons.
Yeah.
And what these drugs do is they can bring to the surface some of the deep underlying psychological reasons why you eat. Now, that can be a good thing. There are better ways to deal with feeling bad than Colonel Sanders, it turns out. But that can be a difficult and painful transition. That's one of many things I think people... Look, 47% of Americans want to take these drugs, right? And that's before most people don't know someone yet who's taking them. The minute you know someone who's taking them, they become a walking advertisement. But you're like, whoa, what happened to Bob, right? Bob lost a load of weight.
Right.
So there's a lot people need to be prepared for about how it makes you feel physically, how it makes you feel emotionally, what the risks are here, but also what the benefits are here, how it's going to change the culture. And that's what I hope my book, Magic Pill, is really a guide to.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, with the approval for weight loss, so it's not off label anymore, that's only going to increase the demand more than likely. And I thought it was interesting just this week. It was announced that Nestle is developing a product line of special foods designed to supplement the weight loss goals of those who are using Ozempic for weight loss. And I can only imagine that that will also feed into the frenzy of people who will want to turn to this drug as the miracle pill, as you talk about in the book. But as you were alluding to, all of this without really addressing the underlying concerns about our relationship with food and how we look at obesity itself.
Well, I think it's a really important point. I felt like such a failure when I was overweight. And what I learned when I studied the science for my book is that actually the food we eat, processed and ultra-processed food, which is basically all I'd eaten in my life, really severely undermines our ability to ever feel full, our ability to ever feel we've had enough, for those natural mechanisms that say, hey, stop eating, to kick in. And what these drugs do is they give you back that feeling of fullness, but at a cost, right? The way I think of it is the food environment we live in the US has trapped us. It's caused an explosion in obesity. Just everyone listening should just stop for a moment and Google photographs of beaches in the United States in 1979, the year I was born. They look really weird to us because everyone seems to be skinny. But that is what people look like in the year I was born. Obesity was very rare until my lifetime. Mm-hmm. Now it's almost the majority of people are obese. And that is not because we all failed or lacked willpower. It is because of the environment we live in. This food has trapped us. And what these drugs do is they've given us a trapdoor. Now, they are a risky, rusty trapdoor. There are lots of people who should not go through that trapdoor, who I talk about in the book. If you could get pregnant, don't go through the door. When animals are given these drugs, they're much more likely to have deformed babies. If you had thyroid cancer in your family, don't take the drugs. We know they seem to, some scientists are warning they increase thyroid cancer. Of course, people should consult their doctors. I'm not a doctor. But based on the best medical evidence, there's plenty of advice people should know, but people who shouldn't take it. But I also think obesity is so harmful to your health in so many ways. There are lots of people for whom the risk of obesity outweighs the risk of these drugs. Now, of course, if you can reverse your obesity without taking these drugs, if you can do it through diet and exercise, by all means do that. That's much less risky. But look, I don't know a fat person who hasn't tried to diet and exercise. God, I tried it 1,000 times and I always ended up fatter than I was at the start, right?
Yeah.
If you've tried that and it hasn't worked, there is now a new option. I want to level with people. It's a risky option. But being obese is terribly risky. Now, the way Dr. Shauna Levy put it to me, a leading obesity specialist in New Orleans, was we don't know the long-term risks of these drugs, but we do know the long-term risks of obesity, and they are very serious.
So bottom line, as you mentioned, you used Ozempic yourself. Would you do it again?
I decided to continue taking it because the scientific evidence is now clear. If you take these drugs and you started with a BMI higher than 27, so only slightly overweight, you are 20% less likely to have a heart attack or stroke when you take these drugs. And for me, my dad had terrible heart problems. My grandfather died of it. My uncle died of it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was just like, I am worried about the risks of these drugs. But for me, that just so outweighed, that benefits so out, but that won't be true of everyone. Loads of people will read the list of the risks and benefits in my book, Magic Pill, and be like, oh, you know what? I'm not taking that risk. And they're not wrong. Like, different people need different advice, and we need to think about this in a very personalized way.
Johann Hari is author of the new book, Magic Pill, The Extraordinary Benefits and Disturbing Risks of the New Weight Loss Drugs. Johann, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
What a pleasure. What a great question. Thank you.
We have a link up to the book. You can read an excerpt from it at our webpage. Go to goodmornings.net. And by the way, to clarify the point that we made at the outset, we talk about these new weight loss drugs, plural. Ozempic is the one that immediately comes to mind, but there are others. Ozempic has yet to be FDA approved for weight management. It is not FDA approved for that purpose. So that would be an off-label use. Wegovy, however, which is the same medication in a lower dose, has been approved for that purpose. So just to clarify on that, Ozempic has not. Wegovy has been approved for weight loss or weight management. So just to clarify on that point. Again, goodmornings.net to learn more. Well, the summer travel season is underway with the arrival of the Memorial Day weekend, and who better to ask about where people are going, what they're going to be doing, how they're getting there, than the folks at Google. And Google travel trends expert Sarah Armstrong is with us this morning. You've got all of this data on the latest trends that people are at least dreaming about with respect to travel. What are some of the top things that you are seeing heading into the summer travel season, Sarah?
Yeah, we've got lots of very popular destinations. London is at the top of the list, Paris, Tokyo on the list for the first time. So lots of folks looking to travel abroad this summer, and road trips as well. Those are spiking too. So a little domestic, a little international this summer.
Okay, so what are some of the top questions that people are asking with respect to summer travel this year?
We see folks looking for a lot of travel ideas. So cheap summer vacations. What are good family summer vacations? We're seeing questions around national parks. So maybe people want to go outside more. And even what are the best places to go for couples?
Now, you mentioned some of the top spots internationally, which are kind of interesting. What about domestically? What are some of the trending vacation spots?
Yeah, New York is a very popular one, but we're also seeing, you know, a lot of those parks. So Yellowstone is spiking in search interest, Yosemite, the Grand Canyon. We see Myrtle Beach as the top family destination, and then Bar Harbor, Maine as the top destination for couples.
Interesting. So maybe some ideas there. And you also see, and it's not a surprise, I'm sure you see this every year, people looking for deals on everything connected with summer vacations.
You're absolutely right. And I am one of those people searching for those deals.
I think we all are.
Totally. Yeah, everything adds up with the flights and the hotels. So we definitely have tools to help you there. Google Flights is such a good one. We track those prices for you, so you can see if it's the best time to book the flight, or maybe if you can wait, because we have all that historical data on whether prices for that flight typically drop. So you don't have to have buyer's remorse there.
You know, that is really interesting, because, you know, we've all heard the old adage about buy tickets on a Tuesday, or buy X number of weeks ahead of time to get the best deals. That doesn't always necessarily hold true when you look at the historical data.
You're absolutely right. And another great way to save money is to compare prices. So you can also go to Google Travel and look at hotels, and we'll pull those deals across the web so you can see them all in one place and really try and save money on those hotels as well.
You know, I know as of late, just within the past couple of weeks, Google has introduced new AI tools incorporated into their search. And I know that that can really be helpful, you say, with respect to coming up with itineraries, browsing destinations, you know, all of that kind of thing when it comes to travel.
And we're actually seeing searches for AI travel planner spiking right now. So folks are interested in this. It's very cool. So our AI companion, it's called Gemini. We also have Gemini Advanced, which is our more advanced version. You can use that to plan your trip. So you have all these different considerations like you do when you plan a trip. You have to think about the flight and the hotel, the restaurants, what members of your family like, how far away everything is from each other to plan that itinerary. Now you can put all of that information into Gemini. So I want to go to Miami. I already booked my flight. It's in my Gmail, my hotel's reservations in Gmail. I want to do these sorts of things. Put it all in there and it can pull all of that information together and suggest a really nice itinerary for you.
Is that the best place to start? I mean, where would you start? Let's say that I know that I want to go on vacation. I know that I want to go somewhere. Maybe the only thing I know is that I'm going to stay in this country. I'm going to go domestic. I'm not going to fly internationally. What do you have to know in order to help Google figure all of the rest out with respect to like these AI itinerary planners?
Yeah, I have two great places to start if you're not really sure what you want to do. So one, if you go to Google Flights, we have this Explore tab. So maybe you're a little bit more flexible on where you want to go. You have an idea of the dates. You can put in those dates and we'll show you the cheapest flights all over the world from your destination if you just want to get away. And then if you want to start thinking about that itinerary, yeah, put in, you know, I want to go somewhere. I want it to be beachy or more in the mountains. I want it to be this many days. I'll be driving or all those sorts of things. This is the food I want to eat. And Gemini can be kind of that thought starter for you where it'll give you some ideas. You can keep iterating on it and start to plan that vacation.
Yeah, that, you know, that's a really good point too, because maybe somebody is not necessarily ready to turn their entire vacation over to Google, but you can certainly use it to start getting ideas, thought starters, and, you know, eventually everybody in the family can find something that they will want to do.
Right. I can get pretty picky when we get down to the details, but I get so overwhelmed at the start of planning a trip because there's just so much to think about. So having that tool to just kind of get that general structure for you at the start can be really helpful.
I think I read that already you're getting like a huge spike in planning for vacation this year. I mean, we've heard the estimates from like AAA about how many people are going to be traveling over the Memorial Day weekend and on into the summer and all of that. You are actually seeing it shape up to possibly be a record year for travel this year?
Right. It's really interesting when you look at the search data. You're seeing a lot of travel interest, a lot of itinerary planning, road trip planning. So you can kind of get a sense of what the summer is shaping up to be. And it looks like it'll be a busy one.
Okay. Again, Google Travel Trends expert Sarah Armstrong with us this morning. Where do we go? Is there a special section of the website where folks can start their travel planning?
Yes, you can go to travel.google and it'll show you all these tools and more.
All right. Sarah, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A Florida priest has been accused of biting a woman attending Mass. Biting a woman attending Mass. The incident happened Sunday, this past Sunday at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church in St. Cloud, Florida. The victim says the altercation began when the priest refused to let her take communion. She said, the woman reportedly said, and I'm quoting here, he wouldn't give me the cookie. It's not really a cookie. Wouldn't give me the cookie, she said. I don't know if it was the way I was dressed or what it is that I like, but you wouldn't give me the cookie. Police body cam footage seemed to catch the priest confessing to what happened. He said, if one does not confess, I can't give you communion. I bit her. I'm not denying that. I was defending myself and defending the sacrament. That's what he said to police. It's a bizarre story. He bit a woman trying to take communion at Mass. Wow. They get serious about that there. Elsewhere in the broken news, 8 years ago, Pablo Scipione of Lancaster, California? Lancaster, California. Yeah. Pablo Scipione worked as an independent contractor for a railroad freight company 8 years ago. I had an incident at work where a piece of equipment fell on his foot, leading to a microfracture of his foot, a hairline fracture in his foot. Wouldn't seem to be real, real serious, but complications came up and he had to actually quit working. He sued and his attorneys asked for $3 million for pain and suffering and lost wages and all of that. The company's lawyers rejected the settlement offers. At $3 million, you're crazy. We're not paying you $3 million. Well, it turned out that strategy backfired as a Los Angeles Superior Court jury this week awarded Mr. Scipione a little more than $58 million. $58 million. Award was for compensatory damages for past lost earnings, future lost earnings, future medical expenses, punitive damages, and past and future pain and suffering. You could have had a $3 million settlement. You said no. So $58 million. Should have taken the offer. Should have taken the offer. In other broken news reports, stories this morning, a Fresno woman staying in California. Fresno woman is rejoicing after a fine she received for collecting clams was reduced. Charlotte Russ took a vacation with her family to Pismo Beach last year, where her children collected what they thought were seashells there along the seashore. To quote the old tongue twister, collected seashells by the seashore, or what they thought. And everybody does that, right? You go to the seashore and you pick up shells and all of that. Everybody does it. But it turned out in this case, they weren't seashells. The kids were collecting clams, which is illegal in order to protect the clam species in the area that is restricted, is prohibited. And it turns out that Ms. Russ received a citation for $88,000. She was fined $88,000 because the kids collected clams instead of seashells. She was eventually able to explain the misunderstanding to a judge. She actually said, I'm not paying this. I want my day in court. And unlike the company, the rail company that ended up backfiring on her, she got into court, explained the judge, and the judge reduced the fine from $88,000 down to $500. So, man, can you imagine? Keep that in mind if you ever go to California, Pismo Beach. Don't bother to collect the seashells. Don't. Just leave them where they lie. Could be in trouble. What are the odds of this? In Canada, an ambulance was dispatched responding to the report of a car crashing into a moose when the ambulance hit another moose. The Ontario Provincial Police officers involved in the collision had just finished investigating a crash between a car and a moose before experiencing their own smash-up. Most of the injuries were minor. There were a couple of folks who had to be taken to the hospital, but they're going to be okay. The ambulance was obviously pretty banged up. Needless to say, the Ontario Provincial Police warning motorists to be extra careful driving because there are an increased number of moose coming out of the forests. and they have the damaged ambulance to prove it. Can you imagine having to make that call to dispatch? You need to dispatch somebody else to respond to this call of a car hitting a moose because we've hit a moose. No word on the condition of the moose that the ambulance hit, by the way. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is a story with a happy ending, a surprising ending to an attempted murder trial in Rockville, Maryland earlier this week. The victim was on the stand testifying about how he went into shock when he was shot during a robbery attempt in June of 2022. So he's testifying about his experience. He gets shot. He said he thought he was going to die, but then his 12-year-old daughter came to his mind and said, I can't die. My daughter needs me. It was emotional testimony, so emotional, in fact, that minutes later, the suspect in the case, 22-year-old DeMonte Hewitt, put a stop to the trial when he stood up and pleaded guilty to all charges. He apparently had been so moved by the victim's testimony, and he had one of those come-to-Jesus moments where he realized the magnitude of what he had done. He was so moved that he said, stop the trial, I'm going to plead guilty. He and two other suspects for the same crime, who have already pleaded guilty, will be sentenced sometime here in the near future. But wow, what a crazy ending earlier this week in Rockville, Maryland. Mm-mm-mm. What do you say? There you go. That is today's broken news. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
The Memorial Day special is coming from CBS News Radio. I'm Gil Gross, and I'll talk to actor and activist Gary Sinise about how he's helping wounded vets. We'll follow the effort to identify the thousands of defenders missing in action and talk to the author of Masters of the Air, now a streaming series, about the air battles that helped win World War II. That and much more on the Memorial Day special from CBS News Radio.
Memorial Day at noon on 1330 WFIN and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. You might have heard these numbers already. If you are planning on traveling for the Memorial Day weekend, you are not alone. AAA says 43.8 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more for the holiday. That not only surpasses pre-pandemic levels, it is second only to the all-time record of 44 million travelers set in 2005. According to Paula Twiddale, Senior Vice President of AAA Travel, we haven't seen Memorial Day numbers like this in almost 20 years. 3.5 million air travelers, that's up 4.8% from 2023. Nearly 44 million, as we mentioned, will be on the move. 38.4 million of those will travel by car, and that is the highest number for Memorial Day since AAA began tracking back in 2000. But be warned, AAA says drivers can expect traffic congestion to be 90% greater than normal, traffic times up to 90% greater than normal. And also, I thought it was interesting, AAA said travels by other modes of transportation, trains, buses, and cruises, also up for Memorial Day. Nearly 2 million people are projected to travel in that other category, which is a 5.6% jump over 2023. And that is significant because, as Ms. Twiddale says, that is the category that took the biggest hit during the pandemic, with fewer people taking public transportation or not cruising at all. So 5 years later, here we are back to those pre-pandemic numbers for that industry. Good news all the way around. Before we get to the recipes, I got to bring this up because earlier we were talking about diet and weight management and the ongoing Battle of the Bulge. Americans.
Same old.
Yeah. This was kind of interesting. New survey finds 30% of Americans have purchased healthy foods just because they were trendy.
Okay.
1 in 3 have purchased healthy foods just because they're trendy.
A trendy, healthy food.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the, you know, it's okay. Trendy to go organic. It's trendy you know,
yes.
All of these. And kale is like one of the trendy things.
No, thank you.
Yeah. That's what I say. But 1 in 3 Americans have purchased healthy foods because they are trendy. Yeah. 82% of consumers have purchased products that use terms like multigrain, sugar-free, and organic, although many times that is what experts call health-watching, health-washing.
Yeah.
They're not really any healthier. Yeah. They just sound like they are.
Well, the thing is the it's not even sugar-free anymore. It's zero.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is zero.
Yeah.
It's not even sugar-free anymore.
Health-washing terms.
Yes.
And 82% of consumers have fallen for that. 25% of respondents in the survey say that they were willing to splurge on organic products in general.
Okay.
So, kind of interesting. If you're buying organic, you're going to have to splurge because they are generally
organic food was any dietier than
I don't know. I mean, it was just it's kind of along those same lines. We were talking about it a little bit earlier, so thought it was interesting, that story that I saw on the Newswire. Yes. My wife Kyra has joined us in the studio. It is time for another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. Today we've got stuff for your Memorial Day cookout or picnic.
Yes.
And I think these are pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Well, until you get to the cookies.
Yeah, but cookies.
maybe not, but you deserve it. Why not?
That's right.
We're going to start with a recipe for grilled pork steak.
Yes, this was really good.
Yeah,
so,
really good.
A half a teaspoon of garlic powder, half a teaspoon of paprika, half a teaspoon of brown sugar, salt and pepper to taste. That is your rub for your two pork steaks. Those can be approximately 8 ounces, about a half inch thick. I think that's ours were
thick,
really thick.
Pork steaks.
We had enough. I had enough for the next day. Ours were really thick. They were yummy.
Yeah.
So mix your garlic powder, your paprika, your brown sugar, your salt and pepper. Rub seasoning mixture into both sides of the thawed pork steak. Let the steaks dry marinate for about 15 minutes. I think I might have went over a little bit. It might have been more like 20 minutes, but still, you can even do it up to 24 hours if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Heat the grill to medium high heat. Yes.
Oh, I was just thinking the marinade, dry marinade. I'm mm-hmm. wondering if the thicker the steak, the longer the marinade might be.
Maybe.
Because I was just thinking that ours were like really thick.
Yeah.
I would take the same size steak, but maybe a little thinner and a little larger.
Yeah.
To get more of the, you know, seasoning flavor. And the rub.
Yeah. Yeah. Throughout.
Anyway.
So just a thought. Yeah. Place the steak on the grill and cook on each side for 5 to 10 minutes, depending on the thickness. Remove from the grill and cover with foil. Let it rest for 5 to 10 minutes and then enjoy.
Mm, yeah. Really easy.
Really good.
Yeah. Very, very yummy.
Yes.
To go along with that, we had the roasted butternut squash ravioli and sweet potatoes.
Yes. So one package of fresh cheese ravioli I ended up using just the roasted butternut squash ravioli instead of, and then 2 cups of your butternut squash, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 cloves of garlic minced, 1 large sweet potato cubed, 1/2 tablespoon of Italian seasoning, and your McCormick sweet and smoky seasoning to taste. I didn't put the butternut squash in ours because
you had the butternut squash ravioli.
Yes.
Instead of the cheese ravioli.
So
you can do it either way.
Yes. So bring a large pot of salt water to boil. Cook the ravioli according to the package instructions, usually for about 4 to 5 minutes until they float to the surface. Drain and set aside. While the ravioli cooks, preheat your oven to 350 degrees and place sweet potato cubes, garlic, and seasoning in a 9x13 inch baking dish. Drizzle everything with olive oil and toss until everything is coated. Bake in the oven for about 20 minutes. Stirring a couple of times. Add ravioli. Stir and turn off oven. Let it sit in the oven for about 10 minutes or so. Remove from the oven and serve.
There you go.
So really easy really good.
Yeah, there is your Memorial Day cookout.
Yes.
The grilled pork steak and the roasted butternut squash ravioli and sweet potato.
Yes.
And for dessert, we've got oatmeal Rice Krispie cookies.
Yes. So 1/2 cup of butter at room temperature, 1/2 cup of sugar granulated, 1/2 cup of brown sugar, 1 egg at room temperature, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1 cup of flour, all purpose, 1 cup of oats, all old fashioned or quick cooking.
Doesn't matter.
Nope. 1 cup of Rice Krispie cereal, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1 cup of semi-sweet chocolate chips. You can do the mini or the regular. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Line your baking sheet with parchment paper. Cream the butter and sugar using the electric mixer. Add your egg and vanilla. Mix well. In a separate bowl, mix the flour, the baking soda, and the oats. Then add the mixture. Then add to the mixing bowl.
And put both those together.
Yes, both. Do it gradually, not mm-hmm. all at once.
Right.
Stir well to combine. Fold the cereal and the chocolate chips in. I didn't use the electric mixer on that. I fold those
just
in
fold
afterwards.
Those in gradually.
Yeah. Yep. And then using a cookie scoop to measure the batter, place about 2 inches apart on the prepared baking sheet. Using your hands to gently flatten. You can also use, if you have a glass that has a flat bottom, you can use that too if you'd rather.
Yep.
To flatten the cookies a little bit. Bake for about 10 minutes in your preheated oven. Allow the cookies to cool 1 to 2 minutes on the baking sheet before removing to a wire rack and then completely cooling.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy.
Yeah. Take those along on your next picnic.
Yes.
The recipes for the grilled pork steak, the roasted butternut squash ravioli and sweet potato, and the oatmeal Rice Krispie cookies are all posted on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, are they not?
Yep.
Now go to at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. You can find that. Also, we've got it linked up at goodmornings.net, so you can find the recipe there, those and other recipes. And next week, we will not be here. No Friday recipes next week.
I'll be here. He won't, so I won't come on.
we'll
not be like, what are you doing?
We'll not be here doing an extra extended weekend.
Yes.
But if you have some recipes that you would like to share or something that you do for your Memorial Day cookout, yes, or whatever that would be good for later in the summer, by all means, share those on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, or you can email them directly to us, goodmornings@wfin.com. And again, my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Go to goodmornings.net. No program on Monday, of course, for the Memorial Day holiday, taking the extended weekend. And coming up Tuesday on the program, we'll preview the MCPA summer season of outdoor events and look ahead to the forthcoming announcement of the next season of entertainment at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts. So until Tuesday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.